The question was asked, how do we apply the laws of keeping a second day Yom Tov for a student that's visiting in the land of Israel? And there are many different opinions on this matter. I do not want to answer your question. I will answer a general question. I don't want to answer you because halachically, if you ask me a question and I answer you, then there's a certain element that you're obligated to listen to what I tell you. And I don't want you to be obligated to listen to what I tell you. So I'm not answering you per se. I'm going to address the question in general. You're going to have to do something. So you're going to decide who you ask. You don't have to ask me. You could ask someone else. I'll tell you what I know, and then you decide who you want to ask. But if it's a question that you address a rabbi, you ask the rabbi a halachic question, and then he gives you an answer, then you're basically obligated to listen to him. And I don't want you to be, if he's your rabbi, if he's the one you ask the question to, so you have to listen to that answer. If you feel like you want to go with a different opinion, then you can either ask him, if he doesn't mind, that you ask another rabbi, and then when you ask the other rabbi, you have to tell him, look, I asked so-and-so, and he said this, and what do you say? But you have to introduce it with that. So I don't want you to get stuck with all of that. So I'm not answering your question. I'm not telling you what you should do. We're gonna present over here a little bit the understanding of the halacha, and my tradition happens to be very stringent on this matter, so that's why I don't want you to be stuck with my tradition, because you might choose to go with the more lenient on traditions, or about. So let's go through it. We know that we keep Sukkos from the 15th day. The first day is a full-fledged holiday. We don't do any melacha. It's like any Yom Tov. And then we have 6 days of Chol Hamoed, and on the eighth day, day one is holiday, 6 days Chol Hamoed, so that's day seven really. And then the eighth day, Shemini Atzeres, is again a holiday. And we know that in Chutz Laretz we keep 2 days, that when a Jew is outside the land of Israel, so then because they could not keep in touch with the land of Israel, they didn't have telephones, so they couldn't know if the month was a month of 29 days or 30 days. So because of that, they maintain 2 days of each holiday out of that lack of certainty, because they couldn't know which day was really the day of the holiday. And even though times evolved, our sages instituted us to continue with this tradition, and this deserves a class in and of itself, why we keep this tradition today that we have telephones and calendars, etc. The question was dealt with already in the Talmud and the Gemara and Beitza. But that's a separate question which we could deal with at a separate time. So if a Jew is in Chutz Laretz, if he really comes from a place where they keep 2 days, and he comes to the land of Israel where one would only be obligated to keep 1 day of the first day of Sukkot and 1 day of the last day of Sukkot, what should he do? So before we address this question, we have to understand the roots of the question. Let's say there are two different customs. On the eve of Pesach, does one do work? May one do work the morning of the eve of Pesach or not? We know from afternoon and on you get ready for Pesach. What about the morning? So some cities had a custom already in the time of the Gemara that you don't do any work. And some cities have the custom that you could do work in the morning. And the Gemara says, what happens if you go from a city where you may do work to a city where their custom is that you can't do work? So we say you take the stringencies of the place you came to. If you'll start doing work, everyone will get upset at you. What are you doing work for? What happens if your city is a city that they do the work that morning, before the morning before Pesach, and your city, they don't do work, and you're going to visit your in-laws, and they live in a city where they do work. So then we say you take the stringencies of the place you left from and the stringencies of the place you've come to, and being that the place of origin, the place you have left, that place the custom is you don't do melacha. So you have to maintain the stringencies of the places which you come from. So this is all speaking about a situation where you're visiting. You come from one city that has certain customs and you visit in other cities. So we say you adopt the stringencies of both cities. What happens if you move? You take your family, you physically move them to another city. So we say you adopt the minhagim of that city. This used to be the halacha up until very, very recently. Every city had their minhagim. And when you'd move, you'd adopt the minhagim of that city. What happened in the last 50 years is that we've had people move and cities did not maintain their own minhag. In Europe, maybe they still have cities that have their own minhag. But in the United States, for example, what you have is you have people who have minhagim from different cities. They came together and formed the community. That's a new community. There's no menagim. That community, you have 13 people from Poland and 20 people from Austria and 20 people from Germany and 20 people from Israel. So what are the menagim of that community? You come to Israel and you live in Jerusalem. So you have next to your house, you could have right here, next to Machon Meir, you have one building that has two types of Sephardi and one Ashkenazi minyan. So you have three different menhagim in the same town, in the same building. So this is a new phenomenon, what we have today. That you don't have a city that has its minyan, because you have people coming from all over, and they make the city. You have Yemenites here, you have a Yemenite minyan right around the corner, you have a Moroccan minyan right around the corner, you have Sephardi, Taimani, Ashkenazi, everything is all together. So here, what the rabbis have instituted us to do is to maintain our menhagim, the menhagim of our grandparents. We maintain the menhagim of the cities we come from originally. We don't say there's a new minhag, there's a minhag of Kiryat Moshe. We say no, Kiryat Moshe has some Americans, some Germans, some French, some Swiss. Each one maintains his minhag because there's no minhag of the city of Kiryat Moshe. So what happens, now let's take what we've just learned and apply it to our scenario. A Jew lives in the United States and he keeps 2 days yantiv. That's his custom. He comes for a visit in the land of Israel. So then it would seem like he should really keep 2 days of each of the holidays.
How long is a visit?
Oh, so what we have to define is how long is defined as a visit. That's one thing we have to define. Another thing that throws a monkey wrench into the whole story of 2 days Yom Tov is an idea that the Chacham Tzvi put forth. He says like this. He says, the whole concept of keeping 2 days Yom Tov is because in Chutz La'aretz, they couldn't know which day was the Yom Tov. This isn't like any other minhag, says the Chacham Tzvi. This is a special minhag because in the time of the temple, when we had a Sanhedrin, and the courts would decide if it was a 2 day Yom Tov or which day Rosh Chodesh was on, and they would decide which day the holiday was on, depending on how they decide the new month is. Is it going to be a month of 29 days or 30 days the previous month? Which day is the beginning of the current month? So, in those days, says the Chacham Tzvi, let's say a Jew would come on a visit to the land of Israel. So then you wouldn't tell him maintain the custom of your hometown, because the custom of the hometown was only a derivative of the geographical consequences of the fact that caused that he could not know when the Beis Din decided Rosh Chodesh would be, if it would be on the 30th day or the 31st day. So says the Chacham Tzvi, you can't make our minhag today more stringent than the original minhag. Back in the times of the temple, a person would come visiting Jerusalem. He was visiting right next to the courts. So what would you tell him? Because in your hometown you couldn't know when Rosh Hashanah is, so you kept 2 days Rosh Hashanah, so now here in Israel keep 2 days Rosh Hashanah? That's illogical. It's not a custom as a custom, but rather it's a custom that derives from the fact that you can't know. Well, now you do know. So you can't say, well, keep the custom of your hometown. Why should I keep the custom of my hometown? My hometown is keeping 2 days Yom Tov because they can't know. If by some way they could know, so then they also wouldn't keep 2 days. So that's why the Chacham Tzvi says that this, the minhag of keeping 2 days, is different than any other minhag. On this minhag, you wouldn't say even a visitor should keep the stringencies of his hometown. Therefore, the Chacham Tzvi says that a Jew visiting, even if a Jew only visits for Shavuos, is here for 2 days, he comes in Erev Shavuos, is here for 1 day of Shavuos, and he wants to fly back, says the Chacham Tzvi, he doesn't have to keep 2 days Yom Tov, because that you can't apply this rule that you take the stringencies of the city you come from to this specific halacha, to the halachas of 2 days Yom Tov. So that's one monkey wrench. The other problem is going to be, how do you define, assuming we don't go with the Chacham Tzvi, that we say, wait a second, this is all true in the times of the temple, but the Gemara acknowledges that we already know which day Yom Tov is on, and our keeping 2 days Yom Tov is a question of a minhag. Our sages instituted this minhag in Chutz La'aretz. So then, you can't apply the Chacham Tzvi's logic. That's what those who disagree with him say. They say, that's not true. This was true in the times of the temple. If you'd come for a visit, it's true. You'd only keep 1 day Yom Tov. But there was a change. There was a halachic change. Our sages instituted as a custom in Chutz La'aretz to keep 2 days Yom Tov. And therefore, when you're coming to Israel, even though you know which day is Yom Tov, well, in Chutz La'aretz, you also know which day is Yom Tov. And the only reason you're keeping 2 days in Chutz La'aretz is because that's the institution of that minhag. So therefore, keep that minhag, like any other minhag in the land of Israel. So then, we have the question, what's called a visit. And here you have different opinions. And there are those that say even if you visit for a week, keep only one day Yom Tov. There are those that say if you're visiting only for the holidays, so keep the biblical prohibitions of that Yom Tov, even though the second day Yom Tov was instituted with all its rabbinic adjuncts. Nonetheless, you have to keep only the biblical prohibitions on the second day. So on the second day, they would say, if you want to get a ride, someone else opens the door, you enter the car, someone else is doing the driving, that's okay. So there are all kinds of opinions. Whatever you've heard, a lot of it is true. There are opinions that say you don't have to keep 2 days. And then there are opinions, which is my tradition, that say that you do have to keep 2 days. Unless you're married and have a home here, even if you're learning here for a few years. So there are some that say if you're learning here for a few years, and potentially you want to make aliyah, so that's called you're living here. There are those that say, let's say they'd offer you shidduch. They'd offer you to marry an Israeli girl on the condition that you live here. Would you marry her? If you say yes, so then that's called you left your parents' home, this is your home. There are all kinds of different opinions how you define what's called living here. There are those that say you came to the land of Israel, you're forbidden to leave the land of Israel. I don't believe you when you say you're going to leave. You're saying you're going to do something that you shouldn't really be doing. I don't believe you. So you think you're going to leave. I don't believe you. So that I never consider it a visit. So that's why there are different opinions. My tradition is that you do have to keep 2 days. Even if you're here for numerous years, that's all called a visit. Your home is still there until you marry and have a family here. You marry your wife here, then you live here.
I opinion that you, I can't remember how it worked, like you keep the second day, you work on tefillin.
So that also, if you're keeping the second day at the end of Sukkot, here in Israel, the generally accepted custom is that on Chol Moed we do not wear tefillin. So if someone's going to wear tefillin, he should do it privately in his home, in his room, because he won't find a minion here in Jerusalem that puts on tefillin on Chol Moed. But no, chutzaretz you can find many places that they put on tefillin. But what happens if you're going to keep the second day Yom Tov on the last day of Sukkot? So then there are opinions that say you should still don tefillin without a blessing, because there are so many opinions that say you really don't have to keep that second day on the last, meaning to keep 8 and 9 on the end of Sukkot.
So the opinion, did you mention the opinion that if you're staying for a full year without 3 years?
That's another opinion. There are those that say if you're going to be here all 3 regalim, then also you're considered like you're here. There are those that say if you own an apartment here. There are all kinds of opinions.
Well, I think places to go. I mean, I think Professor Shibulis with Tucson to go. I think went to the coastal. They weren't really minions there. Finished their second over to Isha Torah.
I could help you find minyanim for second day if you'll want it.
In the area or something?
Right here in the hotels they usually down on Herzl, 5 minute walk from here. Usually they have second day Yomta minyan. Anything else on this point? Or no questions. Okay, so just a second, let's say that.